Let's check in on Washington right now, where there is a tentative budget deal in place that would keep the government financed through September of 2017 and would suspend the debt limit. It'll be voted on tomorrow, which is also the day the Republican caucus in the House was going to nominate its candidate to replace John Boehner as speaker. Here's Boehner talking about the deal this morning.
Now, the agreement isn't perfect by any means, but the alternative was a clean debt ceiling increase without any additional support for our troops and without any entitlement reforms. So this is a good deal.
Now, Paul Ryan, who's expected to succeed John Boehner, did not sound so upbeat.
I think this process stinks. This is not the way to do the people's business. And under new management, we are not going to do the people's business this way.
Joining us now is NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. And Ron, with Paul Ryan even saying this process stinks, how did this deal come to be?
Secret negotiations. Those two words, secret negotiations. When you try to talk about the budget in public, you get a lot of posturing. You get a lot of people playing to their own crowds. And when you really want to make a deal, you do it quietly. So aides to John Boehner, the House Speaker, and Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader and the President of the United States, and a lot of other people involved along the way, sat down very quietly, managed to avoid leaks, and right up until about mid-afternoon yesterday, it was not clear they were going to get anything from it, but because of the particular circumstances of the moment we have reached, particularly Boehner's leaving and so on, this was the moment to get this done.
And here is Speaker Boehner actually being asked about whether, as a result of this deal, he's expecting some sort of backlash.
You got a bipartisan agreement in a town that isn't known for a lot of bipartisanship. You're going to see bricks flying from those that don't like the fact that there's a bipartisan agreement. But there is. And I told my colleagues, there isn't any reason why any member should vote against this.
But, Ron, I'm guessing that some of them are going to vote against this. What were the big things that each side had to give up here?
It's not so much a matter of giving up big things as not getting everything that each side wanted. So, for example, the Social Security Disability Program, that's going to be recast in a lot of ways, and it's going to actually save a little bit of money and be part of the revenue side of this deal. But it's also going to remain solvent. So it's the kind of thing where there's a kind of trade-off here, and many people who feel on principle they should never make any kind of cuts in Social Security are going to be unhappy. That's on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, you've got a lot of defense hawks who would like to see even more money added to the budget over the old spending caps, specifically for the military. And they're getting quite a bit. They would have liked to have had more. They're giving up their ideal for something that's less than perfect.
And are the conservatives on the far right, the Freedom Caucus, are they likely to vote for this? Or is Speaker Boehner going to have trouble getting the votes that he needs to pass this?
It is entirely possible that every single member of the House Freedom Caucus will vote against it. Probably many of the members of the Republican Study Conference and some of the other conservative conferences will vote against it. I would imagine in the long run, most of the Republican Party will vote against it. And most of the votes to pass it on the House side will come from the Democrats. Over on the Senate side, it's a little different math. But basically, Mitch McConnell knows what he's doing, and he has presented his senators in his own party with this choice. Either you can have a clean debt ceiling in which it looks like we totally capitulated to the president and we just let him go ahead and have a higher debt limit, or you can have a negotiated deal in which you get to take home quite a bit of what you wanted. You decide, and I think the votes have already been counted.
And this deal would make sure that we don't have any of these situations, these last-minute deadlines, these concerns about a U.S. default until after the election next year, the presidential election. But what does this mean for Paul Ryan if this deal is approved, who is expected to be nominated as speaker tomorrow and is expected to succeed John Boehner as speaker? Would this be good for him because he doesn't have to start with a crisis on his hands, or what do you think?
It will be fabulous for him. It is a huge gift on the way out the door from John Boehner to Paul Ryan. Now, of course, Paul Ryan has to say the process stinks. John Boehner says, yeah, the process stinks. I wish we didn't have to do things this way, but we do, and we did. Paul Ryan, meanwhile, gets to take over as speaker with no threat of a default on the national debt as of next week and no threat of a government shutdown in December and no threat of either of those things happening until 2017, which means we get to go through an entire election year, not only for president, but also for the members of Congress, without having a shutdown, without having a showdown over the debt limit. And that is exactly what the Republicans want for their purposes. They don't want to look like they can't govern. And it's also a gift, and it was happy birthday for her yesterday, Hillary Clinton, who doesn't have to deal with all of that either.
NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Jeremy.